You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
According to Time magazine, Julio Iglesias is now the most popular singer in the whole world. He has sold over 100 million records in six languages. And yet, according to this special Time magazine report, this famous singer, and I quote, is rarely satisfied and he always wants more. In the Bible, Ecclesiastes chapter 2, we read about another man who had tried everything, but he was never fulfilled. Listen as I read his hopeless cry, his empty confession recorded in the Holy Scriptures, and I quote, I explored with my mind, he said, how to stimulate my body with wine. I enlarged my works, I built houses for myself, and I planted vineyards for myself. He continued by saying, I made gardens and parks for myself, and I planted in them all kinds of fruit trees. I made ponds of water for myself from which to irrigate a forest of growing trees. He continued then, I bought male and female slaves. I possessed flocks and herds. I collected for myself silver and gold. I provided for myself male and female singers and the pleasures of man. I did not, he said, withhold from my heart any pleasure. Then he said this, I stood back and I considered all my activities which my hands had done. I looked at the labor I had exerted. And he said, and behold, he confessed in despair, all was vanity. It was striving after wind. He was saying it was totally useless. This man had worked so hard and spent so much, but when it was all over, he realized the vanity and uselessness of expecting material goods and pleasures to provide lasting fulfillment or true meaning in this life. But there is still hope and help for the searching soul. If any man is thirsty, let him come to me and drink, Jesus said. With his loving arms wide open, Jesus invites all people, regardless of race or age or economic background, to come to him. This blessed Savior, crucified on Good Friday and raised again on Easter morning, crucified for our terrible sins and raised again for our salvation, has been given all power in heaven and on earth. And when Jesus makes a promise to fulfill your life, you must listen. You are hearing from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Jesus' promises are always true. He is always faithful, and he has never disappointed anyone. Rest today on this biblical promise. If we are faithless, God remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Now let me ask you, does it make you feel good to hear about famous people who are also struggling in life, maybe just like you are? Oh yes, they have more money than you do, probably. They may have more fame than you do. But you and I have also chased after the false gods of material possessions and sensuous fulfillment, haven't we? As a child, a bicycle or a doll seems to promise total and perfect fulfillment, and at that age we want it so badly. Later it becomes a special car or a computer, or we may even hope to become a cheerleader or a class king or a queen. Our search for final dreamland fulfillment goes on and on and on. Then we are convinced that we must marry the best-looking person, because if we do this, all of life's problems will be solved. Surprise! Even this doesn't do it. We realize soon with St. Paul that after our teenage years, our outer man, our physical body, wastes away. And so we begin to desire money or power or prestige or who knows what else. The list seems to be endless. Let's not be surprised then if at the end of our lives we should honestly agree with the writer of Ecclesiastes who said, I looked at all my activities and behold, all was vanity. Reaching this point in life, however, and accepting the basic Bible teaching does not have to be a downer. It can be for you one of God's greatest blessings, for this reality of our hopelessness prepares us to be rescued by a gracious God. Some months ago, the 8th largest bank in the United States stood on the brink of collapse. After numerous meetings, the chairman of the board called a press conference. He said they had examined all avenues to save themselves, but found none. In their helpless situation, they had no choice but to accept the rescue of an outside source, the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation. This is also what happens when we see our real situation in life. We find ourselves helpless and hopeless. The Good Shepherd at that point is the only one available to rescue us. Look at your life. Have you tried a lot of things and yet you are not fully satisfied? Then look again at the text used as the basis of this sermon. Our text for today is music for anxious ears and food for the hungry and searching soul. If any man is searching in life, Jesus said, then let him come to me and drink. Our Lord Jesus Christ spoke these words of promise at the Feast of Tabernacles. This feast was one of the great ceremonies of the church year. People marched in processions. They waved willows, palms, and other branches. This symbolized the wilderness journey made by the Israelites when they left Egypt. Special psalms were recited as the worshipers shook their leafy branches. Flute playing and dancing brought the expectations of the entire ceremony to a climax. Willow branches were arranged around the altar, and their tops were bent, and a canopy was formed. Now, on each of the 7 days of this feast, this great feast, a priest drew water from the pool of Siloam in a golden pitcher. And during this procession, with trumpets blasting, the priests brought in the water and poured it into a bowl beside the altar. These acts symbolize thankfulness for God's mercy. It looked back to the smiting of the rock in the wilderness, and it also looked forward to God's continued mercies for the coming year. But even more important, these Jewish ceremonies, as explained by the priests, were symbols which would find fulfillment in the days of the Messiah. Now, as a consequence, this elaborate ceremony provided a perfect situation for Jesus to make his gracious invitation. Here he was, the Messiah had arrived, and he was now going to announce a water which would not have to be repeatedly drawn with a pitcher, but a water which would quench thirsty souls once and for all, yes, even for eternity. In the Gospel of John, chapter 7, verse 37, we read, "Now on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, If any man is thirsty, let him come to me and drink." You see, Jesus' time had come and the stage was set. The people saw in this ceremony of water a hope for life. And now, to the joy of some and to the shock and disdain of others, Jesus claimed to be the messianic fulfillment, the celebration that people were waiting for. And with a loud voice, he claimed to be the water of life. This ceremony, you see, was repeated year after year, but Jesus changed everything radically. He promised a water which would satisfy forever the thirsting soul. No more would that pitcher have to be dipped down and repeated again and again. Now, this is the point. When you are grieving or worrying or even despairing over mistakes that you have made or sins you have committed, your soul is crying out. It is thirsting for the perfect and the unconditional forgiveness that Jesus offers. When you try so hard to live a decent life, but realize how you keep failing, your weary heart is crying out for the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ. And when your life seems meaningless, your spirit is crying out to be satisfied. Yes, listen to Jesus as he says to you, "If any man is thirsty, let him come to me and drink." Oh, you may be successful, and even at this hour you may be very, very busy. You may have a lot of friends, and yet honesty would force you to admit something is missing in your life. Search the Scriptures and find Jesus. No, don't leave one stone unturned. Try the prescription for your soul offered by your Savior. Meditate and pray about the words of Jesus when he says, "I am the light of the world. I am the water of life. I am the bread of life," he said. "He who comes to me shall not hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst." Oh, step off the fast-moving train of life and ask yourself, "Where am I going?" As you do, even if you feel that nobody cares, then consider one thing carefully. God has already done something for you, and he cares. The terrible death of Jesus Christ is now history, but its meaning lives on in every generation. The death of Plato or Cicero or Peter the Great or George Washington or any other man may mean nothing to you personally. But the death of Jesus Christ, the death of the innocent man, must. It must mean something to you. When Jesus Christ died, God the Father saw the terrible suffering of His only Son. And at that moment, God accepted this death of Jesus on the cross as a full and complete substitutionary payment for all of your sins and mine. And now in His inexplainable grace, God has also promised that all who trust in this sin-defeating and death-destroying power of His only Son, these will be saved. In the Bible we read, and I quote, "He who believes in Jesus is not judged." But then the Bible adds, "He who does not believe has been judged already because he has not believed in the only begotten Son of God." Oh, in this new year, make every effort to study the Bible regularly, search the Scriptures, and pray that God would enlighten you, that His Spirit would work in your heart. And don't look at the Bible as a book or a guide on how you must live in order to please God and then gain heaven. This will never happen. It is not possible. That's not what the Bible is for. Instead, search the Scriptures and learn of the great and glorious gospel news of how God... Listen to this. Learn from in the Bible of the gospel of how God, through His Son Jesus, has already rescued you and me from sin. The central message of the Bible is not what you and I have to do. But the central message of the Bible tells of what God, in His love and mercy, has already done for us. St. Paul, in writing to the Romans, summarized it beautifully when he states, "But God demonstrates His own love for us in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Oh, it is absolutely astounding to learn of some of the things people try to use to satisfy their desire for meaning in life. While reading a magazine recently, I was shocked at what I read. A clothes designer stated that proper dress for women could do great things. Now, I'm not going to argue about that. In fact, however, she noted, dressing well can give the feeling of peace that even religion can never give. Ridiculous. If this were true, then Jesus would have said, "If anyone is thirsty, or if anyone is seeking meaning in life, then have them go out and buy a beautiful set of clothes." It doesn't work. The torn and tortured lives of many wealthy people testify loudly to the inability of material goods to satisfy the deep needs of the human soul. In 1933, Barbara Hutton Woolworth turned 21. She inherited more than $50 million, which today would be, imagine this, $750 million. And then with this money, this lady searched for true and lasting happiness. She married two princes, one count, one movie star, one legendary lover, one homosexual tennis star, and a Vietnamese artist. She bought every material thing she wanted, but she was never happy. She spent her money foolishly. And when she died in 1979, she had only $3,500 left in her bank account. Oh, this story is indeed sad, but so few people seem to heed the lesson. In fact, in a special recent report in U.S. News & World Report magazine titled, "The Chase is Back in Style Again," the author pointed out that, and I quote, "People everywhere are searching for that secret formula to make it big." Oh, don't be misled. Listen instead to the loving voice of Jesus as He issues His gracious call to your heart. "If any man is thirsty, let him come to Me and drink." Our blessed Savior is a medicine for the searching soul. His blood washes the guilt of our sins away, and His glorious resurrection guarantees a life of eternal happiness when our sojourn in this life is finished. Oh, do listen to Jesus, accept His offer, trust His promise, and may God graciously grant that in the Savior your life shall be fulfilled and your soul shall receive the everlasting peace that only God Himself can give. God grant this to you this day. Amen.